Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
We're back.
What are we doing?
It's the wrap-up show on a Thursday night with the hot stove underway. Just a couple of weeks out from the winter meetings. Roki Sasaki rumors. Jackson Merrill robbed. The latest with free agents that have played for the Padres. They're not going to end up with the Padres, but guys like Juan Soto and Blake Snell and more. Make your way in. John and Jim, if you missed it. So we do a radio show, right? And John and Jim has been expanded from 3 hours to 4 hours. Jim, I don't know if you realize that.
I do realize that. I do. Yeah.
But it's the same old wrap-up show.
Nothing's changed. We ain't going 4 hours on this one.
Nothing's changing on the wrap-up show. So you know the deal. Make your way in. Subscribe. Year-round content for Padres fans. Smash the like button for us. You can follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. We appreciate your support of the channel. We really do. If you want to make sure you see your comment on screen tonight, if you just want to support our work, click the dollar sign below the chat box. We'll get to your super chats. If you want to become a member, click join down below. You can get some custom emojis and badges. And again, we do appreciate your support of the channel. We spent some time earlier today, Jim, talking about a quote-unquote handshake deal between Roki Sasaki
and Roki and the Dodgers.
And Roki Sasaki and Younghoe Koo. And Hassan
Younghoe Kim.
And Byung-Young Kim.
But they have Byung-Young Kim on their team now?
Roki Sasaki has been rumored to be a favorite to the Dodgers. A lot of those that are here with us now live or on replay have heard that. The agent for Sasaki, who's at the Wasserman Group, which I think is based out of L.A., of course, disputed that fact and said there is no handshake deal and basically said, you're taking a shot at my credibility by saying that. So we'll wait. I mean, if he ends up with the Dodgers, I'm going to say there was a handshake deal. If he doesn't, then I guess what the agent is saying is going to be factual. But Jim Bowden yesterday, Jim, said there was an 85% chance that he does not end up in LA, talking about Roki Sasaki based on some of the reporting he had done. But I mean, obviously there's still a favorite. We'll see if the Padres can make a move once he's posted.
Yeah, I think that what the agent said today, what do you expect him to say?
Yeah, like, yeah, we do have a handshake deal.
Like, oh, actually, yeah, he's going to the Dodgers. We're going to sign with the Dodgers the second he's posted. Like, right. Give me a break. You know, it's agent speak. Something got leaked, and he has to walk it back. You know, that's exactly what happened here. I hope it's not true. I hope that this quote-unquote handshake deal or his desire to go to the Dodgers isn't true. Because if it is, that's really disheartening. It just really is. Because in my mind and in your mind, the top target this offseason for the Padres has to be Roki Sasaki. That's just how I view it. Roki Sasaki, to me, is the number one target for this Padres team. If they don't land him, massive bummer. If he goes to the Dodgers, even bigger bummer. But that's the game you play when you set your eyes and your sights on a player in free agency. Like, I'm sure the same thing is going to happen. You know, the Mets don't sign Juan Soto. Massive disappointment. Yankees don't sign Juan Soto. Massive disappointment. Happens with all teams, right? You set your sights and your fans set your sights on a singular player. And if your team doesn't sign him, it sucks. But I'd rather be in that type of mode than the other type of mode, which is, you know, if you're the Marlins and you're the A's, you ain't signing anybody. You ain't in on anybody, you know? So,
yeah,
it's, you know, it's fun to track him down and see all the rumors that go on with Roky Sasaki. But on the flip side, if, you know, AJ Preller doesn't work some magic here and convince him to join the Padres, then it's going to suck.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, I've been saying, you've been saying that not only should it be a Padres priority, I'd be utterly shocked if the Padres weren't a finalist for Roky Sasaki. And I'm not going to feel great if they're a finalist and lose out on him. And the truth is, the offseason starts from a disappointing spot. I mean, that's true for most teams. One team wins the World Series. But when you lose to your rival and your rival wins the World Series and they hadn't done it in 40 years, and that's the position you start your offseason in, and then you get your hopes up for someone like Roky Sasaki, it's very realistic. We're not going to sell some false bill of goods. Hey, they're in on Juan Soto, and then they don't land Juan Soto and have this fake outrage. They're not going to get Juan Soto. They're not going to get Blake Snell. They're not going to get Corbin Burns. But Roky Sasaki is realistic. I mean, Preller's had his sights on him for a year plus. And the Padres have been finalists for Japanese stars previously, and they haven't landed them at the clip that you'd like them to land them. But there are reasons to believe San Diego could be in on him, including Yu Darvish, including AJ Preller, including San Diego's proximity to Asia, including their success here recently. So I think it's very realistic. I don't think it's some foregone conclusion that he ends up in San Diego, and I truthfully don't think it's a foregone conclusion he ends up in Los Angeles. But when I look at the offseason, Jim, and I see how handcuffed they might be by salary and how like constrained they may be, I want to put my eggs in the Sasaki basket because I can't put them in the Soto basket or any of these other baskets that I'd like to put my eggs in. So I'm going to go all in on Sasaki. I think the organization is going to do the same, truthfully.
And if he pulls a fast one and he doesn't go to either the Dodgers or the Padres and he goes somewhere else, then okay. You know, like I'm interested to know the reasoning why, you know, it feels like, to me, in my mind, Padres or Dodgers, right? Like, what other team right now could you be like, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Just from everything that we've heard so far and read so far, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. But as of right now, it they are the quote-unquote betting favorites, the Dodgers and the Padres, to land Roky Sasaki. And it would just be really disheartening, and there's nothing anybody could do about it if the Dodgers, you know, swing their big stick and say, hey, we're not only going to sign Roky Sasaki because we already have two of his teammates from Japan, and that was an easy catch, but we're also going to sign Juan Soto too. Eat shit. You know, like that's
Blake Snell
and Blake
they've
Snell.
Already met with.
Or Corbin
Burns.
They're
not going to do all of it, it would be my guess. I don't think they land Juan Soto, truthfully. I think it's at least possible, but I don't think they will. Now, when it comes to starting pitching market, I wouldn't be surprised if they made multiple moves, and that's even with getting guys like Tyler Glasnow and Dustin May back. The truth is, though, the Padres recognize they need to make multiple moves with their rotation. Like Joe Musgrove, you know, I've seen him at the, you know, Viejas Arena, and we've seen him at like San Diego Clipper games. Like you see the brace on his arm from Tommy John. We're not going to see him next year. Like the closest you're going to see him is at a San Diego Clippers game, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So knowing that, and they can prepare for that, their rotation is very thin. It has a lot of potential because you got Michael King and you got Yu Darvish and you have Dylan Cease, but that's not enough. It's nowhere near enough, and you're not going to make up for it with Randy Vasquez and Matt Waldron. Truthfully, you could land Roky Sasaki, and still you're looking to fill a spot in your rotation. I think most Padres fans would take that. I'm signing up for that right now. Sasaki signs, and you figure out the other spot in your rotation. They don't have to spend a penny on it. Figure it out. It can be internal candidates. It can be a veteran that they bring in to spring training. But starting pitching is the biggest thing. I mean, you know how it works. You run out of starting pitching, that's how you basically end your season, and the Padres have had that happen. So if I'm putting my eggs anywhere, I'm putting them on starting pitching. I don't think they have the money to do it via free agency. They could do it via trade, definitely, and upgrade their rotation. And they can do it with Roky Sasaki because he's going to come really cheap. I mean, he's going to come at $5-7 million because of the whatever the international rules.
Right, right. How, I mean, an offseason of Sasaki, a trade for a starting pitcher, re-sign Jerickson Profar, re-sign Higgy, and then make another move on the edge like they did last year with a guy that's not going to cost you a lot, and hopefully he can bring some value to their team. That, to me, is like a really good offseason.
Yeah.
As far as like what constraints they're dealing with right now. You tell me right now, Sasaki, trade for a starting pitcher that can give you 25 to 30 starts, which is a lot, because Sasaki won't be able to do that, I don't feel like, in his first year. You re-sign Profar, you re-sign Higgy. Maybe you bring back Donovan Solano as well, because he's going to be cheap. And then whoever else is kind of left, you know, out there before spring training that needs a job that you could bring into camp that won't cost you a lot, you do that. I'd be pretty cool with that offseason. I'd be okay with that.
I mean, I think the team that lands Sasaki will be one of the big winners just in general. You know,
and don't trade away either Dylan Cease or Luis Arraez. You can't do that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think if they land Sasaki, I'll call it a good offseason without having to know anything else. I think if they land Roky Sasaki, I will call it a good offseason. Now, I don't know their chances. I don't know what his motivations are. We haven't heard from him. He hasn't met with teams. He hasn't even been posted. So,
right.
You know, it's all like speculative at this point. But we know that AJ Preller's in on him. How do we know? Because at Peter Seiler's memorial service, he actually brought up their conversations regarding Roky Sasaki. So this dates back a year plus. I mean, this could be 2 years of pursuit. You know, they've probably been scouting Roky Sasaki since he was a kid. He's only 23.
Yeah.
And Preller's been the general manager for a decade. And you know how he's a scout at heart. So I think they've been familiar with Sasaki for a long time. Let's get to the first super of the night. Thank you, HBBBVPPPPJJJ, for the super chat. Guys, if you are here, subscribe. Here on content for Padres fans. And if you are here and you want to support the channel, you can click the dollar sign below the chat box. And this is our first super chat of the night. If you want to get your comment on screen, he says, Merrill was voted Rookie of the Year by players. I don't know what Paul is by old men. Oh, Skeens by the writers.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that conversation. Because he's right. I mean, Merrill has won some recognition for Rookie of the Year. He just finished ninth in MVP voting here today, which is higher than Paul Skeens. But at the end of the day, he finished second for Rookie of the Year, which is going to cost the Padres a first-round pick, unfortunately. Right now, but do you want to get to that right now?
I mean, what else do you want to talk about with
you know what I want to talk about first? I want to talk about Mark Nimitz.
Oh, I did too. I like that.
Because this is a big offseason acquisition for the Padres if they can land Nimitz. Listen, Mark is a huge Padres fan. He's a lifelong San Diegan, a lifelong Padres fan. He's a great insurance agent. All right, take that from us. I've done business with Mark for years, life insurance, homeowners, earthquake insurance. If you have any need, let Mark take care of you. He could save you $750 or more just by switching your insurance. You can click the link in the description down below to get to his website. Free quotes online or by calling Mark. If you call him, he's going to end up talking to you about Roky Sasaki and Padres Hot Stove and free agency. He's just a great insurance agent. You can take it from me. I had to file a claim a couple of years ago. He took care of everything. He's got great service and communication. He does auto. He does home, renters, life, and more. So if you want free quotes, click the link in the description down below. If you support the channel, please support Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance, who's been our title sponsor of the wrap-up show since day one. We're probably going back 3.5 years with Mark Nimitz. So we appreciate you, Mark, for your longtime support of the channel.
Yeah, all his information is in the ticker below, mnimitz@farmersagent.com. When you reach out to Mark, let him know that John and Jim from the wrap-up show sent you.
Trade Xander for Nimitz. I think Mark would probably work for less than $280 million, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Probably. Richard, thank you for the super chat. Loyal supporter of the channel and a Dodger fan. He says, 56 sellouts in postseason revenue. Will San Diego invest that into the roster or use it to maintain those huge AJ contracts? LA fans are a huge no on Soto. That actually surprises me.
I meant to put in the rundown today, and I have plenty of time to talk about it tomorrow.
Yes, but 4 hours.
Yeah, 4 hours. Yeah. Bill Plaschke, and I know,
yep.
And I'm going to lump in into this conversation because Richard's talking about Dodger fans are huge no on Soto. Bill Plaschke wrote an entire article either today or yesterday. I forget when it was. It might have been yesterday. About how he thinks the Dodgers to stay far away from Soto as possible. And I'm like, okay, you're an idiot. I have no idea. If you are a Dodger fan out there, and Richard, I'm sorry if you are, but if you're a Dodger, let me finish. If you're a Dodger fan out there that does not want the Dodgers to sign Juan Soto, you are a moron. Now, I wouldn't sign Juan Soto for $650 million, but guess what? The Dodgers, that to them, that's chunk change. Like they aren't, not, it's not chunk change, but you get my point, is they're not going to be financially strapped for a long time if they sign Juan Soto to a $650 million contract, because they have a guy on their team that makes them $1 billion every single year. And they have $500 million TV deal.
Yeah, over $300 million per year. So your point is valid. They can afford him. But I think the other point from Richard is, do the Padres have the revenue to support taking on additional payroll?
Yes.
From our seat, we say 60 sellouts, additional postseason revenue from playing multiple games at home. The fact that they've drawn for years now, and they lowered payroll last year. Do they have the money in the coffers to go out and actually reinvest or spend more than they spent in 2023? We don't have an answer. We haven't heard from Eric Hedsenda. AJ Preller was asked on this at the end of the season, but he didn't comment really publicly on what their payroll was going to be, if they'd be willing to go over the CBT. He even made an interesting comment, like, we're going to win and we're going to do so like fiscally responsibly. Like, because that's cool. Like, we won a World Series and we did it 14th in payroll. At the end of the day, just want to win a World Series. Nobody's going to put an asterisk by the Dodgers 2024 World Series and say they did it by spending the most money. So I would say whatever it takes within reason. Nobody's asking the Padres to be the Dodgers in spending. But if the Padres have to go over the CBT after selling out 60 games and drawing 3 million fans and making the postseason last year, then I say go over the CBT. And the reason is, it's not just go over the CBT to go over the CBT.
Right. Yeah.
The point is, Dylan Cease costs more now. Jerickson Profar costs more. Michael King, you get the point. Everyone, it's inflation in baseball. The guys performed, their salaries go up. So to maintain a comparable roster, you need to spend more because the players had success.
Yeah, and most of this is not about going and signing Blake Snell or Corbin Burns. That's not happening. Right. What it is like you said, re-signing Michael King to a long-term contract, re-signing Luis Arraez to a long-term contract, giving a contract extension to Jackson Merrill, lock him up through his arbitration years and a couple years in the free agency. Test the waters with Dylan Cease to see what he's looking for. Like, that's what we're talking about as far as, you know, what this ownership group, I hope, does. If they don't, then we have a big problem here, because then you're going to lose Luis Arraez, you're going to lose Michael King, and you're going to lose Dylan Cease, and you've already lost Profar, and you potentially could lose Higashioka as well, as a really good solid catcher for you. Like, I mean, I really, really hate hearing from billionaire owners say we want to spend money responsibly. Like, yes, you could spend money responsibly. But also, there's times you got to push that limit. And if it's to re-sign and lock up guys like Michael King for long-term, or sign up and lock up guys like Luis Arraez for long-term, and that's going to maybe put you at the threshold or put you over the CBT, well, sometimes you got to do those things. And if you don't, then you're doing a massive disservice to your fan base by not doing that.
Especially now, it's like 2025 is so critically important. No one's getting younger, but truly, like, this veteran roster that has Manny Machado and Xander Bogaerts and Yu Darvish on it, and Joe Musgrove, who's not even going to pitch in 2025. But the point is, like, there's no better time than now if you're the Padres. And you had gotten to a point where you were in the postseason, and for a brief moment in time, it appeared as if you had the upper hand on LA. Now, we know how it ended. The issue is, you don't want LA, after you got kind of quasi-even, to go run away again. And they are fully capable of doing that. Now, you can't control what LA does. You can't control if they go out and land Juan Soto and Blake Snell and Roky Sasaki. That's out of your control. You can't control players' decisions, but you can put yourself in the best position to win. And the best position to win is not trading Luis Arraez. To your point, it's not re-signing Jurickson Profar, if you can do it, right? Yeah. Like, there's some things you should do that if you're trying to win 93 games again, and nobody's saying that they're going to put together a roster that's going to win 105 games or even win the division. It won't be easy. It won't be easy to win the division. But if you think you can win 93 games again by trading away Luis Arraez or not extending out Michael King, you get the point. Like, it's going to be challenging.
Yeah, I, you know, the Profar thing is, it's always going to be interesting until wherever he signs, you know?
Yeah, true.
Like, 20 million, I would not go. I would not go to 20 million no matter what. 15, I would definitely think about it. Obviously, you know, 10 to 12, 100%. I'm talking about like per year, AAV.
Yep.
The term of the contract, the years is also going to be interesting as well. If he wants 3 years, okay, I would try for 3 and an option. You know, but if you can't re-sign Jurickson Profar because of a third, that he wants the third year and you don't want to give him a third year, and the AAV is like 15, but you only want to go to 12, that's going to be disappointing. That's going to be really disappointing. But if you go somewhere for like 4 years, 20 million a year, then you're like, okay,
yeah, like, we're not going to play that.
Not going to do that ever. But I if they end up trading Luis Arraez this offseason because they can't sign him to a long-term contract and they don't want to give him what his number would be in arbitration, which is like around 15, 16 million. What Kevin Acey said they don't want to do, I'll lose my shit.
You're talking about Arraez?
Yeah, I will rip that team a new one. It will be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree. I think Luis Arraez has provided a ton of value. And I think that it showed in basically the way the offense performed once he got here. You know, I thought you had a really good offense, and he was on base a lot, and he came through a lot in the clutch as well. Mm-hmm. And he was hurt. He wasn't fully healthy. So he's a valuable piece. I don't know if he's their most valuable. In fact, I know he's not. But I think he's a valuable piece, a key cog in the wheel for the Padres offense. And I thought he played decent defense as well. He basically was out there every single day. And, of course, you're playing him against lefties and righties. So I agree with you. I think Luis Arraez is one of those guys that needs to be back. If I was guessing right now, I would say he would be. But I still don't know how they're going to do it, Jim. I don't know what the plan is to bring all these guys back, to quote-unquote improve the roster and to stay under the CBT when you add up all the numbers, and Jeff Sanders maybe has done it, or Kevin Acey, you add it up, they're like, they're already up against the threshold. They've done absolutely nothing. So how do you add to this team and stay under the CBT without making some tough decisions?
Yeah, well, sorry, but if you make that tough decision, that's going to cost you. You know, Luis Arraez is a winning player. He made a postseason with the Padres this year. He was on a postseason roster last year with the Marlins. Right. I think when he was with the Twins, did the Twins make the postseason when he was there as well?
Let's check.
Look at the last 4 years for Luis Arraez and his team's record.
The Twins were in the postseason in 2023, but he wasn't there, right? No, because he was in Miami.
Okay.
And they last were in the postseason in 2020. So I don't think he was in the postseason with the Twins unless it was 2020.
Well, he's still a winning player in my mind. Like, I mean, I just seeing him play every day, I'm just like,
yeah, let's see his winning player stats. Yeah, he was okay. So, you know what? To your point, so he was in the postseason with Minnesota in 2019 and 2020. Mm-hmm. Then he was in the postseason with Miami in 2023, and then the Padres this past year. He's been in the postseason 4 years.
And he's been in the bigs for six.
Six, yeah. Pretty good.
Pretty good. And he's a, you know, what is he? Is he a, you know, three-time batting champ? Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, not bad. Three years in a row with three different teams. First player in the history of the sport to do that. It's okay.
Pretty good. Pretty good. But that my he is, I don't give a shit about his war. I don't care.
Right. One war player?
He's a one war player.
That's crazy.
He's a career 323 hitter.
Right.
So,
yep.
Yeah, I have two eyes, and I watch Luis Rise every day, and the guy can just flat out hit. So you put a guy that hits 323 at the top of your lineup, yeah, I'll take that every day.
Counter argument, and I agree. $15+ million for 1 year of a guy that had a one WAR. You know
what? Give me hit. Okay. But, I mean,
I'm just saying. I mean, you know, I look at the productivity of Jordan Profar, and it, you know,
I know, but I like Luis Arise to me just kind of, I don't look at his WAR and it's say,
it's, right, it's like a closer.
Yeah, you know, he had a one WAR this year. You put him up against a lot of other players in baseball with a one WAR, they don't even have close to a 314 average.
No, not even close.
Now his on base percentage needs to be better. Like that, that is something that has to change. But if he's going to hit 330 and he continues to stay the same, then he'll have like a 350 or 360 on base percentage. And you absolutely like that. Now this past year, again, he had what, 330 on base percentage?
What's that?
What was his on base percentage this year? Yeah. It was
not good.
I mean, it's 346. You can, come on, man.
Considering the batting average. I mean, I think AJ Preller was asked about it postseason, and he said the number has to come up.
He's a three. He's a lifetime 372 on base percentage guy. Which is his lifetime on base percentage.
But that's also 26 points higher than 346. So that's a pretty much, that's a good clip.
Very
like
good.
Omar says, like, again, this doesn't really make sense, but like Cronenworth's a 1.9 WAR player. We kill him for making $11 million a year. Like, it's easy. Here's the one thing I would say. It's easy to say, hey, I want to rise. I want, but when the going gets tough, when you got to make a decision, who's the odd man out is my point. You know, if you've got $15 million to spend and then all the money goes to Luis Arise, and then we look up during the season and he's got a 328 on base percentage and is hitting 299, and we say, how on earth are they paying Luis Arise $15 million? Like, again, it's easy from our chair to say pay him $15 million. But once he makes $15 million, he's going to have to produce. They paid him nothing. The Marlins ate the salary. They are coming off a year in which they paid him nothing. He's going to go from making nothing to a microscope is going to be on him, Jim. He's going to make $15 million. We're out of the gates. You have to produce. Mm. And he did by and large. He did by and large.
Now,
but wasn't it Kevin Acey with us that said the Padres have no appetite for Luis Arise at $15 million a year?
Yeah, he did say that. So, yeah. So, I mean, I have no clue how WAR works as far as how they calculate it.
Nobody does.
Nobody does.
No, well, there's multiple. There's B WAR, that's baseball reference. There's F WAR, that's Fangraphs that determines it. So, yeah, it's a metric.
So, all right.
Not the only.
I'm looking at Luis Arise and his career WAR. Like last year.
What is it?
No, he has a career 16 WAR over his entire career.
Yep.
But I'm not going to use 2023 because that's a little bit of an outlier hitting 354. Like, I don't know if you're going to do that. But let's look at 2022. He hit 316. Okay. Led the league in batting average. All right. He had a 375 on base percentage.
That's
really good. You know, 420 slug. Okay.
What was his WAR?
His WAR that year, John? In 144 games, it was a 4.2 WAR. So in 144 games in 2022 with the Minnesota Twins.
2 years ago, he was a 4 WAR player.
And last year, he's a 4.9 WAR player. And in 2021, he's a 3.4 WAR player.
So we're saying last year is a bit of an outlier?
That's what I'm saying.
We're saying it's his thumb.
I'm saying that if you look at his last 4 years, a 3.4 WAR, a 4.2 WAR, a 4.9 WAR.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, I'm on board. I'm completely on board. But what are we going to say? Here's my point. What are we going to say when Profar walks? What are we going to say when they don't make a move in free agency?
Well, what we're going to say when Profar walks.
Luis Arise?
Well, what we're going to say when Profar walks is, one, what was the contract? And if it's...
Yep.
Like he got a four-year $80 million deal. We're like,
then we say smart.
Smart. Yep. Thank you. But,
yep.
You know, congratulations.
Yep.
If he signed somewhere for 3 years, like 35 to 40 million. That's a little bit of an issue for me because I think you could do that.
Right.
I think you could do that. Yeah. So what was your question?
I guess my question was, are you going to be cool? Like you said earlier in the show, you're like, I'd be cool with Sasaki and a free agent starter and bring back Higgy and bring back Profar. Yeah, but what if they can't do that because of Arise? Because if Arise is at 15,
no,
isn't that maybe at the expense of Profar at 15?
If you're going to let Luis Arise get in the way of these things, that's on you. Like, you cannot be like, man, you don't want to go 15 with Luis Arise, but we'll go like 12, you know, or we'll sign a long-term, add to him a long-term contract.
Right.
Like I said, if you were going to allow an AAV, you know, this ain't, we're not talking 30. We're not talking 30. We're talking 15.
Right.
And if you're more comfortable giving Luis Arise a deal somewhere along the lines of a Jake Cronenworth contract, but you're not cool with giving him a 1 year, $15 million or $16 million deal in arbitration because you want to stay under that CBT. No, you go over and you, if it's a couple million dollars over, so be it. That's the name of the game. You ain't in a division with the White Sox and the Guardians and the Royals. You're in a division with the world champion Dodgers who will spend and spend and spend.
Honestly, that argument you just made, I love. Like, I'd make the analogy, like, you ain't playing limit hold'em. The blinds aren't $2 and $4. You're pushing no limit in the NL West. Like, it's not just the Dodgers that can go out and do crazy things.
Giants.
The Giants can pop up and be like, wait, what did they just do? Like, there's some sleeping Giants in here. No pun intended.
D-backs spent a lot of money this offseason as well.
The Dodgers and Giants historically win, okay? And historically have coffers. Dodgers, we know, it's not that long ago that the Giants were winning at a very high level, even post the World Series. They had a 100 and whatever win team not long ago. The idea that they're just going to be inept for the next half decade is not reasonable. That should not be the expectation. So the point is, it's a bit of an arms race. So how can you compete in an arms race? Like, I'm sorry, the Oakland A's way hasn't worked. Like, it was great. It was a great book. Yeah. Great movie.
Good movie.
I'm not saying they're going to be 30th in payroll, the Padres, but can you win at 15th in payroll when you're going up against the LA Dodgers?
No, you can't be pinching pennies here to make sure you stay under that CBT number, because if you do, you're in the wrong game. You're in the wrong business. Like, you're not doing right by your fans. You're not doing right by the team. Like, if you want to stay under that CBT, and to stay under that CBT, you have to trade Luis Arise. That is a problem.
Right.
Like, if signing Luis Arise or giving or even not signing Luis Arise and going to arbitration, and then it ends up costing you a little bit and it's going to push you over the CBT threshold, so fucking be it. Like, you get sellout after sellout after sellout. You're not pushing $100 million over the CBT number. You're pushing 5 to 10. If you can't do that, then that's a problem for this organization and whoever is the owner of this team.
I agree with that. I completely agree with that. All right, the holidays are coming. We are a week away from Thanksgiving. You're looking for great gift ideas. What's that?
We got to talk to Michael about, is there any Black Friday promotions going on?
Well, funny you ask. There are.
Okay.
There are Black Friday promotions going on. We're going to tell you about our friends at Mova Globes. Black Friday starts now at Mova. Click the link in the description down below. When you get to their website, you're going to see it. I would tell you to use promo code PWS10, which I'm all for. That's 10% off. You want better than that? Use promo code BF for Black Friday 24. 15% off all Globes plus free shipping. I mean, you're saving a good amount of money because these are amazing products. You're getting the shipping for free. You're getting 15% off, and you can take advantage of that right now. And this is an amazing gift idea. They have all 30 teams officially licensed, all 30 Major League Baseball teams, including your San Diego Padres. These are amazing products. They spin automatically with natural or artificial light. There are no cords. There are no wires. The technology was invented here in Cardiff by the Sea, North County, San Diego. Just a great company. And you're looking for a great gift idea for the baseball fan in your life. Like you've given every gift over the years, right? Mm-hmm. This is an amazing gift. We've got the baseball globes. We have the world globes. They've got amazing products beyond the MLB globes, but they're just really cool. And you can see them on the screen right now. It's a great, great keepsake gift idea. Your family's going to love them. Your kids are going to love them. The baseball fan in your life is going to love them. So click the link in the description down below and use that promo code for 15% off BF24. That's BF24, Jim, for 15% off.
Yeah, it's a great, you know, thing to get for the holidays, a present for a diehard Padres fan or just any baseball fan in your life, or even you, if you want to get one for your desk at work, desk at home, nightstand, bookshelf, wherever. Pick up a Mova Globe today. They're a great gift, great thing to have. Love my Mova Globes, my Earth Globe out in our living room on our, it's kind of making me dizzy, on our bookshelf. It's love me some Mova Globes. Okay, that's great. That's okay. You can stop now.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
By the way,
BF24.
Just real quick before we get some Merrill, I see this. Can't sign Dylan Cease, trade him. Nope.
No. He just finished fourth in Cy Young voting. No.
I had that brief thought early in the offseason, like, well, maybe they're gonna have to trade Dylan Cease to replenish the front. Nope.
Nah.
Nope. You might not be able to resign him. But
you got to get everything you can out of him while you have him.
100%. Yeah, I don't need to. Like,
you traded Juan Soto and didn't maximize every second you could have had him. And I understand as to why. You can't then go trade away Dylan Cease.
Nope. Like, now, especially with Joe out.
Yeah. Like you Cease, King, Darvish just gets you started. You're counting on their health and effectiveness.
Yeah.
Like honestly, Cease, King, Darvish is not enough. They could all have good years. That doesn't make up for the fact that you have question marks at the back of your rotation. You're in the NL West. I mean, you can't go at it with three good starters. You're going to need more than that to contend.
And truthfully, even if you sign Roki Suzuki,
he's still going to be a rookie.
Because Roki Suzuki ain't going to give you 200 innings next year.
Nope. He's never thrown more than 111, I don't think, right?
Yeah, kind of mirror what Yamamoto did this year for the Dodgers. And he was hurt a lot. So that's kind of what you might be getting from Suzuki in year one. Now you hope and you want him to turn into what Yu Darvish was, right? But as of right now, first year of Roki Suzuki, if they're lucky enough to sign him, you're not going to be getting like 170 innings out of him.
I'll buy a Roki Suzuki jersey the day they sign him. Now it might be from that overseas.
Jersey's in the cart, bro, if they sign him.
That might be the overseas vendor. I might get the discounted version, but right. Whatever that company is. But I'll pick up a Suzuki jersey. I'm all in on Roki Suzuki. I've been all in on a lot of these Japanese superstars over the years. And Suzuki is the next in line. Here's the difference between Yamamoto and Suzuki. $318 million. Mm-hmm. Yamamoto signed for 325. It was never a possibility. We didn't discuss it.
Never.
But this is bargain hunting. This is everything must go. The freaking store is closing down because when he gets posted, he's not 25 years of age, which means there's a limit on how much he can make. And it's nothing. The international pool or whatever maxes out at $7.5 million. Padres have like $6 million in 2025. Dodgers have like $5 million. He's not making more than $7.5 million. In this transaction, like you have to go all in on Roki Suzuki Again, I get not going all in on Yoshinobu Yamamoto, but I don't get not going all in on Roki Sasaki.
It's like going to the Dollar Tree and they have a PS5 in there for like $5. And you're like, what the hell?
Oh my God, like this is $500.
Yeah. And like, you're going to give me this for $5? Like, yeah, we'll give it to you $5.
It's like, it's too good to be true, but it's not. Ohtani was the same thing with the Angels. Now, they didn't capitalize on him, but they paid him nothing.
Nothing. I mean, how awful is that? You paid Ohtani nothing.
Nothing for 6 years.
Now, again, once he blew up in arbitration.
Yeah, he started making money.
Made $30 million plus a year. But
his first 3 years.
A disaster for them.
It's a complete disaster. And again, I would, get me Sasaki controllable for 6 years at a discounted rate, and I'll go build around that and take my chances, and I'm good. That's why I say, like, if you can land Roki Sasaki this offseason, the rest I'm not overly concerned with from an offseason perspective. Of course, we'll be concerned once the season starts. But if my rotation is Sasaki, Darvish, Cease, King, I at least know I can compete.
And by the way, if you get to year three and you get to the arbitration for Sasaki and you're talking about giving him 25 to 30 million, that means he's damn good.
Yeah. And it's the first 3 years you're not arbitration eligible. Years four, five, and six you are. But the first arbitration year never shoots up that high.
No.
Right. So still, it goes like 10, 20, 30.
Yeah. You get my point though. Like if by the first year of his arbitration, it's like
15.
That's a good thing. That's a good problem.
Like, just to continue down that point, like Dylan Cease is a really great pitcher, right? Well, he's still an arbitration guy. He ain't making $30 million, and he's a top like 18 five
next year.
He's a top five Cy Young guy twice.
Shit, what do you think he's going to make next year?
Well, he didn't even make 10 this past year, did he? Let's see.
He made a little over 10, maybe, right?
Let's see. He made. Hell did he make? He made 8, dude.
Oh, jeez.
So even if that double, I mean, he's not going to make more than 15. So, yeah, he's going to be in that. I don't know. Someone has the arbitration math probably better than I do. There's a whole formula to it, but it's probably between 13 and 16 is what he's going to make next year. And then the same thing with Luis Arraez, arbitration guy. So you have a feel for where it's going to go. So I don't know what the point is other than Sasaki's controllable and he's affordable and whoever lands him, it's a coup. I'm not saying it's landing Shohei Ohtani because with the benefit of hindsight, Ohtani did spectacular things and was a two-way player, which is basically ridiculous. But who was it that told us that he's basically Ohtani on the mound? Kyle Glazer. Yep. He said that you can compare Sasaki's pitching to Ohtani's pitching at the time that they came over in terms of effectiveness,
and his
capabilities.
Yeah, and he's not going to be a two-way guy, so he just focuses solely on pitching.
Which is fine.
Cool with that.
Yeah, I'm completely cool with that. Jackson Merrill.
Yes.
He did not win Rookie of the Year.
Nor did he win MVP.
No, you know, he was 9th in MVP, which is really impressive, and we talked about that today on John and Jim. 2nd in Rookie of the Year was disappointing, I think, for a lot of Padres fans, understandably so. It wasn't overly close, 7 first-place votes, but 23 for Paul Skenes. We're both kind of dying on the hill that, I mean, he should have won, or it should have been closer. But Paul Skenes, the numbers were gaudy too. That's the problem. I mean, Skenes had good numbers. He was marketed better than Jackson Merrill probably. And at the end of the day, that sub-2 TRA.
The TRA is really good. His sub-2 TRA.
What did I say today? Dude, the 4-hour show is killing me, man.
Dude, I just told Aaron tonight, I was like,
yeah, you have all these solo shows?
I'm spent, and it's Thursday. I have one more day of this. Because I'm like, my body is, you know, conditioned to do 15 hours of radio a week. And now we've done 16. And I'm like, now I got to do 20. And we know people that do 4 hours, and they're like, it's fucking brutal. Like, there's some days it goes by quick because you have so much to talk about. Like, but there's other days where you're like, there's nothing to talk about.
The point is, please join us on the radio.
help us.
We need you. 2 to 6 weekday, San Diego Sports 760, YouTube. Just freaking iHeartRadio app, please join us. What were we talking about? Oh, Merrill.
So Merrill. Mark Finestand.
MLB.com.
MLB.com. He put out a tweet tonight. It was interesting. And it's regarding the MVP voting breakdown. So we all know Skeen's got 23 of 30 place first place votes for the rookie of the year. Kind of a landslide. Merrill got only 7. He tweets out, "It is interesting that Jackson Merrill was listed on 19 NL MVP ballots and finished in 9th place, while Paul Skeens was named on just one ballot and finished tied for 19th. Yet Skeens received 23 of 30 NL Rookie of the Year votes to Merrill's 7. Different voters, of course. Not questioning Skeens' worthiness of being Rookie of the Year. He had a phenomenal season. I just found the MVP placement of the two players interesting. This is what happens when you start breaking down vote totals." And yeah, I put out like Jackson Merrill finished 9th. Paul Skeens finished 10th. Jackson Merrill's on 19 ballots.
Yeah.
He was on 1.
Right.
It's just so hard for these awards because if I'm talking to somebody who voted for Paul Skeens for Rookie of the Year over Jackson Merrill, they'll describe it as, well, this isn't who was the most valuable to the team. It's who had the best rookie season. Take away team accomplishments and whatever. It's about who put up the best statistics to win Rookie of the Year. And then MVP, you'd be like, well, Jackson Merrill was more valuable to his team than Paul Skeens was because without Jackson Merrill, the Padres don't make the postseason. And even with Paul Skeens, the Pirates weren't even close to the postseason. Mm-hmm. But yet in some years, players win MVPs based on their stats, even when they're on shitty teams, rather than who's the most valuable player to their team. So it just goes back to the point of these awards and voting on these awards are fucking stupid at times. Because a guy can win the MVP on a 77-win team when a guy on a 98-win team, you could say, is way more valuable than the guy that won on a 77-win team. Yet, in Rookie of the Year voting, a guy who was on a 70-win team wins it over a guy who, without him on that team, doesn't make the postseason, and he puts up the numbers as well. The whole thing is stupid. Jackson Merrill should have been Rookie of the Year. Paul Skeens had a phenomenal season, but Jackson Merrill had a better rookie season, all things considered. And by the way, he was up from day one. Paul Skeens wasn't. End of discussion.
I don't think it's as clear as that.
I know.
I really don't. I mean, I'm all
prove
for
me wrong.
I'm all for Merrill winning it, but I don't know if he should have or if it's clear. I thought that if it was close, he gets the tie, goes to the runner because he was up all year and on the better team. The problem is it wasn't close.
Correct.
So that's the issue. Like, again, if it was close, I think it's Merrill's. The voters determined it wasn't that close. Now, the MVP stuff is a little different. You know, pitchers don't get the same recognition for MVP as hitters, by and large. Not always the case, but by and large. I don't know what to make of it. Here's what I know. Jackson Merrill, if he can replicate what he just did, the Padres have a chance to be good again. That's what I do know. Like it's very simplistic, but if he can replicate what he just did and be a top 10 MVP guy again in 2025, then you've got, you know, then you got a star in your hands and that bodes well for the organization. So, you know, did I lose sleep over it? I didn't.
Me neither.
Was it disappointing? The overall vote? Yeah, it was. I was surprised that I got 7 first place votes. I thought I thought the thing would be 17, 13. One way. I really did.
Me too. I thought it
would
be that.
It's like you go into an election, think it's going to be close. It's not that close. It happens, you know?
Yeah. It's almost like, you know, it's like Paul Skeens won the Electoral College, but Jackson Merrill got the popular vote because of the MVP ballots that he was on compared to Skeens.
Yeah. I don't hate that analogy, actually. Yeah. Like recognized, yes, by MVP voters.
Yeah, a lot, by the way. 19 of 30.
Yeah,
Paul Skeens had 1
of 30.
And it's probably really somebody from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yeah, that's actually really interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't. JD's third says, who joins Roki in a 6-man rotation? Why? Because he only pitches every 7th day, and that's why his innings are low, like Yamamoto.
Yeah, if your rotation next year is Dylan Cease, Michael King, Yu Darvish, Roki Suzuki, Randy Vasquez, and Matt Waldron.
You wouldn't go six for Roki. You know what you would do? First of all, there's a million off days.
True.
So they manage the off days. Baseball today has more off days than it had 5 years ago. There's about five more. So there's a million off days. And you do what the Dodgers did. They didn't use a six-man rotation. You're still maximizing Dylan Cease. The problem with six-man rotations is you're minimizing the effectiveness of your starters when you do that. Why would you give the ball to Dylan Cease less? Why would you give the ball to Michael King less? You just got to manage it with Roki. The other four in your rotation, you keep moving along. You just got to figure out. Occasionally, you got to move them because there's not an off day, or you got to get a little cute with your rotation. But no, you're not going to have a six-man rotation with Roki Suzuki. You have a five-man rotation and make it work. And,
correct.
You know, like we said, we went into the season saying, who's the fifth starter? Matt Waldron. It has a funny way of working itself out. All of a sudden, guys at 125 innings, and then you figure it out. You know?
Yeah. It is interesting. I mean, like, MVP voters didn't even consider Paul Skenes, you know? And a lot of these voters vote based on statistics rather than what the award, you know, is, which is, you know, is it most valuable player or is it most outstanding player? There's a lot of years it's most outstanding player, and then maybe some years it's most valuable player. Like, you know, so it's just interesting how that whole thing shaped out, how Jackson Merrill was on a like majority of MVP voters ballots, and they didn't even care to even think about Paul Skenes, who had a 1.96 ERA. You know, it's just interesting how that is.
Yeah.
And then the rookie of the year, apparently the voters didn't even factor in team success at all. Like how that player was for their team.
What we're doing is like, we're doing an autopsy on something that doesn't deserve to be autopsied a little bit. My point is, we can't get in the mind of Dan Zimborski, even though we had him on. You know what I mean? We're talking about 30 people. Mm-hmm. Like, or it's very hard Barry to Bloom. Determine motivation.
I don't want to get in that mind.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Across all walks, from young to old, from St. Louis to San Francisco, they all have different motivations. It's not, we're probably reading too much into both votes. I think Skenes won because he had a sub-2 ERA and was marketed well and is dating Livy Dunn. I mean, that if I could simplify it, those are my reasons. Yep. He's good. He was marketed. And he's noteworthy even off the baseball field because of his girlfriend. I think it matters. And then I think Jackson Merrill got MVP votes because he was on a better team. And typically MVPs go to players on better teams. Not always, but typically it goes to players on better teams. He played every single day. He was a hitter. Hitters get more MVPs historically than pitchers, historically. Mm. But again, I think we're probably reading too much into it. I think these voters have probably too much power. 30 guys are making this determination. Like,
yeah, bunch you of know? Like losers like Keith Law are voting for the Cardinals manager for manager of the year. Like,
thank you.
I mean, it's just complete nerd losers that, you know, think that this they have fun. This almighty power or whatever. It's like, you don't. You're a fucking loser.
I agree with that. Omar says, no worries. Next season, we'll have the NL Rookie of the Year. Kind of love that. Who could also be the NL Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the year.
He will be the favorite, presumably, to enter the year as rookie of the year. Although I guess Yamamoto would have been as well, but he got hurt.
Yamamoto was not on anybody's ballot.
How many starts did he make? He didn't make a lot of regular season starts. 12 or
no more than that, right?
I'll look it up. I don't know. I don't think it was very many.
I'm gonna say 15.
Okay. Even that, 18.
Okay, still.
I mean, he was 7-2 with a 3.00. It's not like it was some horrific debut that was completely sidetracked.
How many innings did he pitch?
90.
How many strikeouts?
105. Big number. 90
innings.
This is whip. It was good. It was good events. 1.11. Good enough. Solid. Good enough. Yeah, he didn't pitch well against the Padres in the regular season, and then he pitched really well against them in game four, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, look, dude. Next year, if the Padres got Roki Suzuki and you told me he makes 20 starts, pitches 110, you know, what, 110 innings, 120 strikeouts, 7-2 with a 3 ERA. Fucking sign me up.
Dude, Lance is back.
Oh, Lance, you just love following us.
He does. He loves us. That's the thing. But Lance, just keep subscribing and watching and just tell people to come here.
We were literally just talking about Jackson Merrill and Roki Sasaki.
No, no, we weren't, Lance. This whole show is on the Dodgers. Go back and rewatch it. This entire show is on the Dodgers.
Yeah, he's like, well, then why is the Dodgers in the headline? I mean,
one day, here's what I would suggest to you. If I won't even. I won't even. All right. I do want to remind our viewers about our friends over at Underdog Fantasy. Great time to be playing with all of the sports going on. Thanksgiving's a week away. You've got NFL, college football, college basketball, NBA, NHL. You can win up to 1,000 times your money in a single night. They're going to give you a gimme pick if you sign up right now using promo code PODSWRAP. You heard me right. Promo code PODSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. They'll give you a gimme pick. What do I mean by that? A gimme pick is like higher than a half total point for Steph Curry in his next game, or higher than a half total pass attempt for Lamar Jackson on Monday Night Football. They're giving you that. They're also giving you a 50% deposit match up to $1,000, their best offer ever. All you have to do is use promo code PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP. Just pick higher or lower on two or more athletes' performances, higher than 1.5 touchdowns for Lamar Jackson, lower than a half touchdown for Jamar Chase. Boom. You
done.
Go 2 for 2. You're winning. And you could go 3 for 3, 4 for 4. You can win 325 times your money. You can win now 1,000 times your money. Use promo code PODSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. Click the link in the description down below or scan that QR code that's actually that way. Not that way. That way.
Right there. There it is right there. Yeah. It's weird when you're like looking at your computer and you're like, no, it's right here. Oh, wait, no, it's over here. Yeah. It's weird.
What would you like to change the subject to, JD Gacha? No, don't block Lance. Don't block Lance.
Just let him.
Lance is fine. There's much worse. I like Lance.
You can tell he's
like
a subscriber to the channel because we've changed our ways of doing things here.
Oh yeah. Good call. Good call. Good call. I like that. All right. So I'll take you behind the curtains for a second. Jim is doing a 4-hour talk show tomorrow on San Diego Sports 760. Look, Lance is a fan. All right, we appreciate Lance then. So 2 p.m., San Diego Sports 760, John and Jim talking about the Padres offseason and the Dodgers offseason. Join us at 2 p.m. on San Diego Sports 760. You can watch us on YouTube. Search for John and Jim 760. You can listen on the free iHeartRadio app. You can listen on 760 or on HD Radio, by the way. As well,
and you love pushing this HD radio thing over.
I was told push it.
It hasn't done shit for our station since we were introduced to HD radio.
How do you know that? Have you seen the behind the scenes,
John?
I've never listened to HD radio in my life, and I'm a radio host.
If it was doing something for us, someone would have told us. Actually, probably no one would have told us because
they don't know, dude.
They don't know shit
because it all.
But
the rating data comes in the way I was told. And you get it if it goes to any of those spots, AM 760, 101.5 Channel 2, iHeartRadio app.
All you've been doing the last couple of days, you're like, HD Radio, guys, you got to get to HD Radio. I'm like, what the fuck?
I was told to say it.
By who?
Someone in the building.
Okay.
Whose job?
Male or female?
Male.
Okay, I know who that is.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's only two people in the building.
I give a shit.
So, maybe. Listen, here's the thing. I want to take people behind. If you like what we do, if you like what we do, you're going to have to listen to the damn radio show. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Yep.
Okay.
And you need to be listening for...
And you need to tell people about the show.
Three minutes at a time.
You got to listen for 3 minutes and 1 second.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Starting January 1st, listen for 3 minutes and 1 second.
HBBV, you can call into the sports talk radio station. How are we going to call into the wrap-up show?
We're not allowing people to come on the wrap-up
show.
Hell no. We don't know. not happening. If you want to call the radio show, go right ahead.
Because give us your 2 cents. You just gave us $1.99.
Yeah, yeah. Give us 2 more cents. We all think about linking up with. Wait, is it SDS?
I'm gonna mention this because we had JD Wicker on with us last week, and they were in the conference tournament, and they had this awesome year, and then they blew a lead to San Jose State, and they lost the semifinals. But I think JD had told us off the air, or maybe on air, Jim, he's like, I don't know if they have enough from an at-large perspective because of like their RPI. So I don't think it's overly surprising. I think they had a really good year, but I don't think it's overly surprising that they were left out. What are you doing? Typing in the phone number?
Yeah, call the phone number. Call right now. Yeah. Someone's not there.
Brent's probably sitting there watching freaking Law and Order.
Olivia, y'all ever think about linking up with a coach? We have, but like on YouTube? I don't know.
Maybe. Oh, that's not a bad idea. We've had him on the radio, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone says, so James is a loyal viewer and listener. I'll try the HD radio if it means the audio won't cut out as long as I can sync up to YouTube. Okay, yeah, that's an issue on YouTube sometimes with John and Jim, but that's not our fault.
No, that's the equipment fault that no one cares about.
Here's your co-host tomorrow, HBBV. You're going to be on.
Perfect.
Perfect. Yeah. Oh, what about a weekly segment with Coach? Seriously.
I mean, yeah, I think, like during baseball season for sure. But Coach is doing his own thing. Coach is crushing it, whatever, you know, with his new channel. So
he's got time for us.
He's got time.
Used to board op for him.
I did. He's the producer.
Wait, so. HBBV, you disabled on Instagram comments, apparently.
What?
About the gambling?
Did you see that that freaking Paul Skeens Merrill post is like the little engine that could keeps going and going?
Oh no. My light went out.
Okay.
Hey, what's that up to? What's that? How many views on that?
We're at 13K right now.
What?
But I'll tell you what, this post, did the Dodgers choke first or did the Padres choke for the Dodgers? That shit continues to go. Also, the bring on the Dodgers post, that ain't stopping anytime soon.
Bring on the Dodgers.
That was like 2 months ago.
Dude.
Troll.
Couple of supers here coming in late. JD Gacha, thank you. We're talking Aztecs, men's soccer, of course. RPI was 57. UCSB and UCLA last four in.
Without looking, what's the Aztecs KenPom rating right now?
Go there right now. I think it's 55th.
Hold on.
It was 55th earlier in the night.
Aztecs basketball.
No, just go to KenPom.com, dude. Oh, sorry. Don't get cute. Don't get cute.
KenPom?
Yes. KENPOM.
This is just KenPom.
Scroll down.
Oh, yes.
Scroll
50. Okay. Would you say 55th?
55th earlier today.
It's 56th.
Yeah, that makes sense because there's games going on.
Oof. See
what, 56th?
No, it's not pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's fine. It's early. It'll play out.
Gonzaga. So they played the number one KenPom team in the country.
Is Gonzaga number one now?
Gonzaga's number one.
By the way, did you see what Gonzaga did their next game after San Diego State?
No.
To our buddy Chris Acker, who we saw in Vegas at Long Beach State.
Oh, God.
They won by 44. They're just rolling everyone.
I mean, hey, that's a good showing for the Aztecs.
Yeah, in the end, I mean, they beat Baylor by 40, and Baylor just came back and beat St. John's tonight.
Baylor's 11th. Thank you. KenPom.
Who's 11th?
Baylor.
Where's Creighton, by the way? Because that's next up for San Diego State. They should 20th. Be top 20. 20th?
Yeah, and then the Oregon?
Yeah, where are
they? Is
top 40?
How do you not have this memorized?
I don't, because I'm not a psycho like you.
31st.
All right, that's not easy. It's not going to be easy.
And then who could they play on Saturday?
It'd be Alabama or Houston. They're both top 10.
Houston's third. Alabama's ninth.
And then it could be Notre Dame or Rutgers.
And let's see here.
We looked earlier. It was like 40s or 50s or 60s.
Notre Dame is 50th. And Rutgers is 67th.
All right. So they got to find a way to win a game in Vegas, if not more. San Diego State.
Kind of like this website. This is the first time I've ever been here.
What? Did you breathe air? I've never met a human being.
What's your email and password? Oh, wait, you don't log in and subscribe because you're a fake.
That's another thing. That's for another day. I bet a lot of people here don't know about Ken Pompey.
I don't want to subscribe.
Well, here's the thing. We got a lot of Padres fans here. This is a Padres channel. But I bet, have you ever been to KenPom.com? Put it in the chat. Yes or no? Matthew, thank you for the super. He says, what are the Padres doing? What is their budget? Can we get Crochet and Snell? Listen, Crochet is a possibility. I like the trade angle. I think Crochet is way more possible than Blake Snell. We don't know the budget.
Ethan Salas.
Well, that's a problem.
Right? I mean, what else are you going to... I mean, if I'm the White Sox, why would I trade you Garrett Crochet for anything less than that?
You don't think Waldron for Crochet moves the needle?
No, it doesn't. What are the Padres doing, Matthew? No idea. What's the budget? No idea. Can they get Crochet and Snell? Probably not.
No. They can't get... I mean, at most, they could get Crochet. They're not getting Snell. And Crochet... That seemed like a bit of a AJ Preller white whale at times over the last year. But
and by the way, you're not getting any moves in baseball right now.
No, not over Thanksgiving.
You got Thanksgiving next week. It's after all Thanksgiving, shit can heat up.
Yeah.
Winter meetings?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Oh, dude, we'll have shows throughout the winter meetings. Will we be in Dallas? I forget.
Yeah, it's on the company card.
Yeah, okay. So, no, we're not going to be in Dallas. But what are they doing? Everything is just a waiting game for 3 weeks around baseball. I mean, unless some crazy Soto thing happens before the winter meetings, maybe. But I think we're waiting 2.5 weeks, and then it'll heat up. Early December should be good, I think, around baseball. Hopefully there's some movement in Dallas.
There better be. I mean, you can't – I just – look, baseball – you got to try to capitalize. I mean, you got a really good – free agent class this year.
Amazing.
You got the top teams in on these free agents. You have to capitalize as a sport and get shit done. Let's go. It makes some headlines. Like
and then let's wrap up the men's soccer talk. JD Gatcher says, is this a rivalry? Gatchers are 7-35-4 all time against UCLA, but 2-2 in the NCAAs, including a win tonight. Also won the 06 national title over the Bruins. Let me answer that, JD Gaucho. No. You can't be 7-35-4 against someone. And I don't know. But I could be wrong. I know nothing about that. But thank you for your support of the channel.
Thank you.
All right. Let's do it tomorrow, 2 p.m. San Diego Sports 760. A special guest will be on the show tomorrow as well. Spoiler alert, it's one of the two people on your screen.
It's all right. Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say. If you haven't subscribed to the channel, please do. We have year-round content in season and out of season for you. If you're a Padres fan, shoot if you're a baseball fan. So please subscribe, year-round content for you. Smash the like button for us. Follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. I'm on Blue Ski, by the way, at John Schaefer or Blue Sky. You hate it. Thank you for those that have supported with Super Chats and Super Thanks. If you are here on replay, if you want to become a member, you can click join down below. One more from JD Gaucho before we get out of here. JD's third is getting involved, Jim. We can't leave. Any chance the Padres go after Shane Bieber? I think the answer is yes. Who told us that?
Like it.
I like the name a lot. He didn't pitch last year, essentially, but yes, low risk, high reward. I think it's a great name. So that's a great super, JD Gaucho. That's a name to circle. And keep an eye on. Mike Farron, I think, that mentioned his name when the offseason started.
Yeah.
So keep an eye on Shane Bieber. Mike Farron's dialed in. And JD's third thank you says we have to spend during Roki's 6 years here. Yeah. He's not going to come here if they're going to cut budget. He's going to want to know the plan.
Shit, you got to spend because Manny Machado's here, because Fernando Tatis Jr. is here, because Xander Bogaerts is here. Like that's, and just all in on this, for any nerd out there that's like, the Padres shouldn't be World Series or bust, because that doesn't even really make sense. Because if they bust, then what's next after that? The Padres every year are World Series or bust with Manny Machado on the team and Fernando Tatis Jr. because they have given out those big time contracts. And if they aren't trying to win a World Series with those guys in their prime under this contract, then what the hell are we doing?
Can you do that one more time?
The Padres are in a World Series or bust mode, because if they didn't make a World Series or win it, then that's considered a bust. And then what happens after that? It doesn't make any sense.
We'll see you tomorrow.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch or Tap, also on them.
Service plan required for Watch or Tap. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.